Good morning. Today is Tuesday, last day of November. Joining us this morning on his way to work, Merritt Perry, city manager of Fortuna. Howdy, howdy.
Good morning.
How you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm
Isn't
glad
this
that fog
weird?
That fog lifted up. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't do an awful. It lifted at about Booner for us yesterday. So driving along Harrison, all of a sudden, and it opened up. And then coming back in, it was like driving into a cave almost. It was amazing how thick that was.
Yeah, my son was in town, and he had to fly out to go back to school. And
was
flights
he able
were
to?
No, flights were canceled yesterday. So they ended up having to drive over to Reading to get out of town. The famous Arcata Airport dilemma.
Well, that thing was so thick. I mean, it was kind of tough even thinking about driving anywhere.
It was thick. It was clear in Fortuna, and then you hit Eureka.
Is that where it was? Sunday we came back, went down and saw a family in Sacramento. And you know how I normally hit the fog bank around Scotia?
Yeah.
This was
that's the
dense
the normal line.
But it wasn't. It was really weird. The fog followed the river line. Rio Del was in sunshine. But it was thick fog, almost like a crescent around it. And then you hit it at Eel River.
Yeah.
Sawmills, yeah.
Some people see that as a beautiful thing, Brian.
Oh, I love. Yeah, that means we're home.
Yeah,
that's no question about that. Yeah, it's like that's time to go home. So, did he get out yesterday?
This morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you're so perky.
Yeah.
Dad escort made it out, huh?
It wasn't actually me.
You step back.
I drew the right straw. I stayed home. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, you'll pay for that one.
Yeah. For sure.
Are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Why are stock prices quoted in eighths of a dollar?
Because there must have been a currency that was equivalent to eighth of a dollar.
You didn't hit your head on the shovel this morning, did you?
No.
Everything's kind of thinking, yeah. In the 18th century, the American dollar was officially equated in value to the Spanish silver dollar, a coin so large that it frequently divided into eight parts. Because of this, fractions of the American dollar were, for a long time, also expressed in eighths, especially by Europeans with whom the Americans traded. When the stock market was established towards the end of the 18th century, stock prices were quoted in dollars and eighths of dollars, and the practice has never changed.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of
chalk that up to a good guess.
Yeah. I somehow didn't think you took currency history in college.
No.
And if you did, I'm stunned that it might have stuck.
Yeah, nope.
Didn't quite make it out, huh?
There's usually a logical reason behind why things are done, so.
Oh. Okay.
Or not.
That's the engineer
or not.
In you.
Yeah.
Not the city manager you that needs the creativity.
No. Not there's not logic in politics. It's
better to set
more
that
in engineering.
Aside. How are inquiries going with out of area interests? You know, there have been. We've seen new businesses come into the area over the last little bit. I'm still stunned that some of them are here. Sportsman's Warehouse.
Right.
Cool. But really? Here? Yeah. That's an example of kind of those outliers coming in. Are you getting any inquiries from head-scratching outlets? All viable.
Yeah.
But why Fortuna? Why Humboldt County?
Yeah, you know, we really haven't seen too many come in that seem really strange. So, yeah, just we've seen kind of more normal things.
Are you seeing just normal development? I know that there's been interest around Humboldt Bay. Is the Valley also getting some?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a development proposal, and I can't really talk about what that is on the mill site. So that's one thing that's new. I think there's pressure on all developable land, particularly commercial, also residential, obviously. So we're seeing a lot of activity for single-family homes, multifamily, commercial. We're seeing, you know, a steady stream of projects coming through on residential. And I just think there's less commercial available, so we're not seeing quite as much of that.
Well, and there's available space for a lot of that as well. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Next time on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, we touched a little bit about housing, or on the topic of housing before the break. Is the city looking at any redefinition of some of the standards? I'm thinking of standard lot size, setbacks, things of that nature that are great and they're wonderful and I'm sure they're justifiable, but they are of decades ago. Instead of looking at what we're dealing with today and the new tidal wave with Humboldt State's expansion, with the fiber optic stuff, the fishing. I mean, you guys are going to get your unfair share of people living and then wanting to commute in from Fortuna, just, you know, as any other thing. Are there any advanced anticipatory planning elements that have kicked in or that are being contemplated right now for... Yeah. Allowing for additional residents?
I think the city's pretty happy with its general plan and land use. And one of the things that we are doing is in response to some of the changes with the state law. And there's been a requirement, for example, the state law change with regard to accessory dwelling units. So we just approved, had a second reading at our last council meeting, accessory dwelling unit ordinance, which basically makes the creation of an accessory dwelling unit or a second unit on an existing single-family lot, ministerial, meaning you can build it without a discretionary permit like a conditional use permit.
Oh, you don't have to have a cleric living in the backyard.
No, and it doesn't have to be your mother, and you have to show documentation, it doesn't actually, right. Which, the county code used to read that way. You know, so in the past, it used to be dependent on, things that were, more... I think arbitrary or more stringent.
Whereas, and extraordinary.
Whereas
too.
Now, as if you build one that's consistent with certain design guidelines, we tried to put some protections in there for the state law actually reduced the setbacks that you could require. It reduced the ability to charge an impact fee or have a separate water meter. So a lot of things that might be costly to somebody developing one of those units are not allowed by state law. So we had to update our ordinance.
Not allowed? So the developer cannot do it?
No, the city cannot charge impact fees for water and wastewater. You can't require separate service. You can't tell somebody no if they propose a accessory dwelling unit that meets, the certain design guidelines. And there's some square footage guidelines or some height guidelines. But then, if you want to build one that, say, for example, you wanted to build one that did exceed what those design guidelines had or went outside, then you could still go through the normal route and go through design review and get planning commission approval. But it made it a lot easier if you build one within the design parameters that are allowed, which are pretty reasonable. It makes it a lot easier. So I think that's a good one for Fortuna. I think when we're looking at creating more housing and implementing these state laws, I think a lot of people don't want to see the character of the community changed, right?
But character is another one of those nebulous things. Okay, a house on the parcel over there that the kids have ridden their bikes on for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
That's going to change the character of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
And I'm not talking about that, but if you look around and, we're also working on our multifamily, we're developing multifamily design standards and updating those as well. And if you look around Fortuna, there's really a lot of multifamily housing that was built a long time ago, I think 50s, 60s, and it's tucked into neighborhoods, and it works really well.
Now, and, is that a simple duplex, or are you talking apartment buildings?
There could be a courtyard with multiple units. And, you know, with certain design standards, you can incorporate the multifamily and really have it something that fits in nicely with the neighborhood. So I think we're going to try to increase our ability to find spots for multifamily housing, but also have it complement the neighborhoods and not, you know, be a dominant, you know, apartment complex where, you know, you just completely, it'd be completely out of character with the neighborhood.
And, five stories?
Yeah.
Probably,
I mean,
wouldn't flow.
We do have some areas where it's predominantly multifamily housing and you have larger complexes, and we're seeing some really nice buildings with nice design.
Yeah, multiple doesn't mean ugly.
Yeah, but little things, and whether it fronts the road, and you know, how you, if you have parking and storage in a big parking lot front, there's a lot of little things that you can do to make them look nicer and have a more of an appeal. And if we look at them differently in certain zones, like, you know, for example, Smith Lane, where it's mostly multifamily housing and apartment, large apartment complexes, we might want to treat that differently than we do a new multifamily development within a single family neighborhood. So we're trying to just...
Sounds logical.
We're trying, yeah. We're
and you know how tough it is for me to say that in that same reference of city government. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, can we do both? I think so. And I think we can have some design standards that work and protect character as well as create more housing. So we're trying to balance things.
What about parking? Is that... allowed, or is that a factor? I mean, you put in a duplex, you don't get more sidewalk space.
Yeah, with the ADU ordinance, the state said, no, you can't require more parking. So that was a limitation for people, because you can't just go build a second unit on a 10,000 square foot lot and then be able to make a really large driveway. So that's one of the things that we have less ability to require for a development. So
more of creative design, is that where that gets addressed, or you just dump everybody on the street and it's a free for all about 5:15 every afternoon?
Yep, the latter. I mean, and I don't know if it'd be a free for all, but if you're adding another unit, I mean, you're putting one or two more cars on the street, and you know, I think it's part of the state's larger kind of effort to create housing and have people drive less, and they see it all as going in the right direction. So
instead of not thinking it through and realizing that there's more vehicles per unit now.
And it's one of those things that, you know, I know our council struggles with it, and there's other councils who really are trying to resist what the state's doing right now. I know our mayor's a big advocate of maintaining that local control, and it's a conversation that's being had at the state level right now.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry out of the city of Fortuna. Merritt, there's a lot of properties along Riverwalk that are still kind of there.
Yeah.
Historically used. I mean, you can see some of the old cement and the rebar every once in a while popping up, and you know, the landscaping is a little unique. When those properties come up for developing, or I guess it would be redevelopment since they already had been, are there special things that the potential developer has to worry about? Historical use of the property. Yeah, not soils, but okay, well, was this before and now there's a restriction associated with that, or a design, not a design review committee, because I know that has specific definition, but somebody who's like the local historian that kind of tries to insert themselves.
You know what? We don't have a strong historical preservation, you know, community in Fortuna. I think a lot of people are interested and like to see those things protected. And we do have a historical commission. And so I think it's important. But With Riverwalk, it's kind of a mixed bag, you know, of what's available and kind of what the legacy uses are and how those impact development. So, you know, for example, there's a small subdivision called a commercial subdivision called the River Ranch subdivision where Tractor Supply is. And so that was built out. All the infrastructure was put in. There's a number of lots that are ready to go. You know, that's an area we'd really love to see a riverfront restaurant out there. And we've also talked with the property owners of that who'd love to see and encourage that and try to think, would also work with the city in creative ways to try to find a restaurant to come in.
That's an allowable use out there, even though it's kind of feels industrial-esque.
The zoning there is freeway commercial, and then there's some other commercial thoroughfares. So the freeway commercial is more intended for the traveling public, whereas the commercial
hotels, motels.
Hotel, motels, restaurants, fuel stations.
Also, restaurant falls under that umbrella.
Yeah, it does. You know, and there's other things, too. They just happen to be listed in the code. If it's like agricultural supply store or, you know, some of the repair shops that are in there. So there's some land out there, like the River Ranch subdivision, that's ready to go. There's a number of lots that are available. There's other spaces, like some of the freeway frontage. You could see, you know, just to the south of Peterson Cat, where, you know, there are some site issues that create challenges. There's an old wood waste landfill, and the state regional water quality control board, the county, they oversee those like a landfill, even though it's just wood waste. And to work on those, or in around those, you know,
a
landfill is it's a very difficult permitting challenge if you want to leave it in place and not pay a couple million bucks to dig it out and move it away. So, you know, they have clay caps, and then you have to design a building that, you know, doesn't
fall in when it rots.
Create issues. Are there ways to monitor gases coming from that? Even though it's just wood waste, you know, there's still some monitoring requirements that could be.
How about a bonfire?
Yeah.
No.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, well, you know, fill in the holes, right?
Yeah. So there's some properties that are wonderful commercial properties, but they have development challenges. So
So what do you do for something like that if you're not going to dig down or have somebody dig down and get that stuff out, and then you have to worry about the backfill and compaction?
It becomes an engineering challenge. How do you preserve what's there and not pose a safety hazard when you put a building on it, top of it?
Yeah, still have it usable property.
That's right.
I-beams, I would suspect, would be frowned
upon.
But
the permitting process and timeline is challenging for a project like that for most people.
Well, then,
and that's why those lots are still vacant. Yeah.
Because it was where the buildings were rather than the storage areas?
The former Palco Mill site. So they have, the owner of that property, they went through this process, and they have a no further action finding from the regional board. So
what does that mean?
It means that they don't have to do anything else right now because they've identified what's out there. And so those are constraints. And there's some deed.
Doesn't mean that they don't have additional costs in developing the property.
That's right.
It just means that what's there isn't causing any more problems.
They don't have to do anything else right now.
Okay.
But if you do something, if you cut through a concrete foundation and if there was contamination, and I'm just, these are hypotheticals. I haven't even really studied it, but for that site, I mean, I have a general idea, but then you have to, you know, if you're going to change things or expose soil that maybe wasn't exposed, or if you're going to put in a pipeline, then, you know, I'm assuming that you'd have mitigation measures to reduce the potential exposure to hazardous materials. Like, you have to test it, and then do you haul it off? And opposed to a greenfield site,
it's not simple.
It's not simple, but if you're going to expose dirt at a site that was dirty, then in the environmental review process, the agencies are going to probably pick that up and want to make sure that you're characterizing anything and off-hauling it if it's bad, and not creating a space where you're putting water on top of something that could, you know, mobilize something that's there. Again, hypothetical. I don't have a good.
No, level. not for that site specifically, but it would seem like it would be almost less expensive to put a foot thick concrete pad over the whole place, seal in whatever it is.
You know, that's been,
and then do what you're going
to
do.
There's different approaches to those things. Yeah, it just depends.
No surprises that way.
Yeah, right. So how do you kind of...
Lovely.
Yeah.
Accomplishes the end result, but perhaps not in the same fashion that the community would want, or that the laws and the standards were put in place to try to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, then how do you make it match what's next to it, right?
Colored cement. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, the concept of economic development in whatever form it is, whether it's streets, residential housing, commercial development, any of those areas, overall, what kind of sense do you have for the next 5 years? Is there going to be more recognition of Fortuna, the Eel River Valley, additional pressures and additional developments to satisfy, you know, you got more bodies living in town, you need more services. More services that can ripple out really quickly, and all of a sudden now you have challenges in getting commercial space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that kind of the direction, the sense of where the city is headed right now?
Yeah, I think what we want to see at the city is balanced growth. And really, again, back to our general plan, that's kind of our marching orders in the, you know, that's the vision the community put forward and the plan that was developed to kind of grow. And it's a changing thing. And I think the biggest unknown that we have to play with is, you know, the mill site. We have 75 acres in the middle of town. And how's that going to be developed? And how's it going to, you know, how can that complement the growth of the city? Do we want to be a bedroom community and just build houses without having a lot of commercial? No, we want to be a community that is able to provide jobs and workspace and have, you know, be a fully functioning community. So I think what we really want to try to do is encourage some of that commercial, you know, have land that's available for commercial growth, have land that's available for housing, which there is still quite a bit of that right now, and a lot of projects are going through. So we really want, you know, the city's not built out, and there's a pretty good blueprint, except for the mill site, and that's one that we're working on right now. We recently received a Headwaters grant to do a specific plan. We have two. We have a Prop 60, a grant that came to the city. I think I talked about this last time, a local early action planning grant, and then we also received a Headwaters grant to do planning and engineering studies to ready that mill site for commercial development. So that's a big one. That's where a big focus of our effort is.
Well, right, it's kind of like it's the elephant in the middle of the living room.
Right. That's our asset.
If that thing's up and humming, then you're looking at the property along the levee.
Right.
And other than that, what, annexation or infill?
And we're looking at the Riverwalk area. I mean, there's great potential there.
Could there be housing there?
There's easy. You know, it's not designated for housing. Right now, a lot of that, like I said, is freeway commercial or commercial thoroughfare.
Boy, I would think that would be killer demand.
So
on the river?
Yeah, but then, you know.
Outside the coastal zone?
look at the access to the freeway. You have an easy on-off the freeway. I mean, there's potential for more restaurants and more businesses that serve the public. We have some different types of fueling stations that are coming in.
But you could knock out a couple of apartment buildings, multi-story apartment buildings there that would.
Yeah, that
compliment. I'm thinking Emeryville is a
but then
concept.
Then you're going to have an island of housing, not necessarily near the services and shopping that.
You don't think services and shopping would come in and support?
I don't think there's enough
room. If there was demand?
I don't think there's enough room there for that. And I think what we want to be able to do is support our existing businesses. You have grocery stores and the other types of services close to residential housing that, you know, we want to continue to see. You know, housing in those areas with the services already there, rather than creating a new island that doesn't have what is needed.
Are we using Humboldt County reference? You know, if you have to walk two blocks to the store, you drive by because it's too far to walk?
No.
Or was it a half mile and you're to the shopping center?
Well, you know, we have a lot of
bike trails. I understand trails are a hot thing.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to put a trail in.
We are looking at trails. You know, we do have a master plan. I'm taking the bait. you know, if you look at some of the trails that have been developed recently, really wonderful trails around the Gene Lucas Community Center and McLean Foundation campus, those trails are packed. If you look at the Sandy Prairie Levee Trail along the Eel River, there's people out there constantly. And so I do think our city wants to see more trails. And we have the John Campbell Trail or Strong Street Trail, which is in the city's general plan, and we're picking away at getting
everything get
the right of way. Everything has a name. Hey, but you know, what your question is, if you don't have a vision, then what are you know?
Well, you want it to be cohesive.
Yes.
And flow, and but it seems like you know if those properties aren't being utilized right now, put them into service.
That's our goal, and we want to have people that we want to have a city where people can live and work and have those opportunities, and that's what we're trying to do.
And nothing says it couldn't be an upscale development.
No, and it,
or condos.
You know, I think people.
I know that's a five-letter word in Humboldt County. We just don't have them.
Well, but there's different types of developments that are going. There's some really wonderful
six-letter words. Sorry.
there's some new senior housing projects that were being put in by private developers, and they're not using grant funds or other things, and they're really just did it on their own because they enjoy. You know, they like the model of renting houses seniors. So they have there's a nice community right next to Redwood Memorial Hospital right now where they're putting in small single family homes, and there's no maintenance, and they have a whole subdivision that's going to have 62 homes for seniors, and there's people that I think they're renting those as fast as they can build them.
There's probably not too much concern with walls being punched out if you have seniors.
With
you know, normal apartment challenges.
I
would think there's a huge demand for that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are different types of projects that we didn't necessarily envision there that, you know, people are demanding. And so, you know, I think it's good to have a variety of different types of projects.
Condos on the river, baby.
You'll have to get involved in our next general plan update process.
Knows? You got, who knows? Maybe even the transit.
2030 is right around the corner.
Maybe public transit would kind of have a little bit of action.
I'm not going The state's got you covered there.
Yeah, okay, fine. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
And playing this morning. See everybody tomorrow.